to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
I'm still trying to eat my hot cross bun. I don't know why I'm calling it a hot cross bun, because it's cold, isn't it?
Well, it is now. It's been sat in front of you for a couple of hours.
Yeah, well, I've got no time to eat it. Look.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's just like half bitten.
Yeah, but you walked up here with it and then decided to go back and get a sausage roll.
Yeah, I only had half a sausage roll.
And what did you do with the other half?
Left it down there for someone else.
Oh, did you?
I was thinking as a man that you might share it with me, but now you've gone all goosey and you...
Yeah. So you ate half of it and left the other half down there.
I'm very virtuous. So I had a green smoothie this morning, which was lovely.
Okay, well, that's all right then.
Marine collagen and all that.
Right, yeah.
Hey, look, there's a winemaker. You know our lovely chapel down?
Mm.
We love Kentish wine. Mm. I'm sure you have some in your restaurant, don't you?
We have some fantastic wines.
Yeah, I might have to come and do a little wine tasting.
Oh, don't let her anywhere near your wine cellar, Sofian.
Funny enough, we have got a wine tasting event coming up on the 28th of April.
Really?
Oh, that was lucky, wasn't it, Jules?
What day is that?
It's a Thursday evening starting at...
I happen to be free on a Thursday evening.
Be our guest at champagne.
What time?
It starts at 6.
I happen to be free at 6 p.m. Exactly.
Every Thursday for free wine.
But Paul, are you picking her up after?
No. No, I'm not.
He's got a big car.
I have to tell you, Sufian...
He's married now, isn't he?
No, I have to tell you... I went out for lunch with her one day, right? Lunch. At 12 o'clock, we went to Wheeler's in Whitstable, which is it's a nice restaurant, yeah. We had a wonderful lunch there. And towards the end of a lunch, there were three or four of us there, weren't there?
Yeah.
And towards the end of the lunch, and they were four bottles in, yeah?
And
then Gavin, her husband, turned up with another two bottles. So come 5 o'clock, the restaurant asked if we'd kindly leave, because we'd been in there all afternoon and they had to set up for the evening meal.
Because you could take your own wine in those.
So she went, well, you're driving us home, aren't you? So we'll carry on somewhere else. So we went to the Neptune pub, right? So what started as a lunch at 12 o'clock, I eventually ended up driving her and her husband home at 2:30 in the morning, yeah, from this lunch.
It was a great lunch, wasn't it?
And pouring them out of my car. Yeah.
There was one time when I left my new husband at home and went out with Rebecca, Serenity Becker.
Which is even worse.
She owns three. I love it when when our presenters leave their phone on, not on silent, by the way. So I went out with Serenity Becker to the old Neptune and left the new husband at home looking after the dog. And we had such a good time. There was a guitarist, acoustic guitarist there. And we thought we were great. We did the backing for it. We weren't supposed to do the backing, but we ended up doing the backing, me and Serenity Becker. And then I rang my new husband about probably midnight and said, could you come and give us a lift home, please? I said slurringly. And he was a bit grumpy and he didn't want to. So I said to Becker, he's not going to come. So I ended up crawling into the back of the van with the acoustic guitarist and with Serenity Becker. And he said he'd give us a lift home. And then my new husband turned up and grabbed me by the scrap of my collar as I was disappearing into the back of this guitarist van. I can't think why I was upset, can you?
No.
Anyway, my winemaker, Chapel Down, is raising a glass to his success after seeing significant growth in sales and profit during 2022. And a vow, they say, to double the size of the business by 2026. It's based in Tenterden, which is in Kent, if you're listening abroad. And they sold a record amount of its premium sparkling wine with 790,000 bottles shifted during the year, which is up 53% from 2021. Production was also buoyed by the excellent harvest that we had, because we had a bumper summer, didn't we? Fueled by that long, hot summer. And they're saying that the quality of the grapes picked last year was outstanding, and allowed a harvest of up 45% on the year before, enabling it to have the capacity to produce over 2 million bottles of wine. It also has upped its prices as a consequence of inflation. Not too happy about that, but there you go. I noticed when I go to London, the price of Kentish wine is pretty high, actually.
Dragon's Den star Piers Linney is to deliver the opening keynote at Business Vision Live 2023 in May. He will deliver the opening keynote speech at one of the Southeast's biggest events. Now in its 17th year, Business Vision Live will return to the Kent Event Centre, that's at Detlin, on Wednesday the 10th of May, to be opened by Piers Linney.
Chocolate entrepreneur Steve Remmett Victor, who launched his business My Chocolate Shop during the first national lockdown, has secured $40,000 from BBC Dragon's Den investor Sarah Davies to help him expand his business. Steve appeared on the show on the 23rd of March. He enticed Sarah with his unique commercial approach to creating bespoke branded products for celebrities, creators and sports people, as well as his pioneering ranges for the growing Muslim product marketplace. No stranger to launching profitable business ventures throughout the year, Steve has also been a fan of Dragon's Den, vowing to apply to appear on the show when the time felt right. So he realised he was onto something big with My Chocolate Shop, and he set out to secure investment from the inspirational Sarah Davies to propel his brand to level. Sufyan, how would his chocolate be pioneering range for the Muslim product? Because Muslims eat milk, don't they? I can't see that he'd have a dairy-free or anything like that. I can understand for kosher, but I can't understand for Muslim.
No, a Muslim's milk and drink
can
milk.
Eat anything like that. So I would be interesting to see what he's done with that Muslim chocolate.
Well, do you not use fat in the production of chocolate in some way?
Muslims eat fat.
Yeah, well, it all depends what fat, I would have guessed so.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Be very, very careful.
If it's pork.
If it was pork fat or bacon fat, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They use
I don't know. Or even, I don't know. I don't know what's halal or not.
Often coconut milk you'd use. Or they sometimes put a lot of soy or lecithin in, but that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
But usually it's dairy milk, isn't it?
Dairy milk.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe we'll have to ask him.
We will. We'll have to get him on the show, Paul Andrews.
Anyway, that was quite apposite because it's that time when we should introduce our second guest. And it's an absolute pleasure to be joined in the Business Bunker studio by Sufyan Mia of the Champagne Group. Sufyan, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And he's been everywhere. He's a nomad.
He is. He's
America.
Well, he's well-travelled, yeah.
But really well-travelled.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me, Sufyan, that you live in America, Spain and...
England, Bangladesh.
Yeah. And Bangladesh, so
Absolutely. Wow. We've got our charity arm of the business, which is the Champagne Foundation, and that's predominantly based in Bangladesh.
Right, okay. So, well, let's start at the beginning. Why don't you tell us... about your business, you own a chain of restaurants in southeast London, Kent. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, thank you very much for introducing me to the show. Got to start off with Champagne at the Spinners Wheel, which is the flagship of the group. Won the best Indian restaurant at the British Curry Awards, which is the Oscars.
Right.
The best Indian restaurant in the southeast of whole of England.
Wow.
Fantastic. I mean, to be fair, we've had a whole series of people tweeting today saying how brilliant your restaurants are. So it's obviously well deserved.
Thank you very much. It's hard work though.
Of course.
That now. And to start the story, first Champagne was opened in 1989. I was a little kid then.
Right.
It was a family member. It was a family business. And I think in 1992, I was just finishing off my GCSEs, and it's given me my age now.
Did you work in the restaurant, though, as a kid?
Yeah. Funny enough, just telling the story, I remember my uncle actually took me in on the first night, and I was carrying a pint of lager and a glass of wine.
Right.
And I went to serve it, and as I put the wine down, tipped the whole pint
over the customer.
And the lady screamed.
Right.
Oh.
And the whole restaurant just turned around and looked. And I was...
It was a lady that you threw it over?
Yeah. Bush. I was very confident as a young man, in my teenage. And
until then.
What I did, actually, I turned around the other way and I said, would you like another one? And the gentleman who turned around, was with her, turned around and said, I beg you for you to do it again. Please do it. And funny enough, they became one of my best friends
right.
in the hospitality industry,
right.
As well as personal friends.
Right. Okay.
I'm still in touch with her and the guy, and it was my first really? Night at work. Anyway, I came into Champagne One. Just worked Friday and Saturdays. Just do waitering, cleaning the tables, serving drinks, and it just carried on, and it was until uni.
Was it your father's business?
It was my uncle's, and my father had a stake in it.
Okay.
But it was only a 36-seater restaurant on the Chatterton Road in Chatterton Village in Bromley.
Right, okay. Do you still have the same premises?
Yes, we do. But we rent now. That has changed. We own the premises.
Right.
But we leased it out and moved into a much bigger, sophisticated, modern restaurant, which is the Champagne Bromley branch.
Right.
Over two floors. It's got its own lounge area, two bars. It's got a private dining
area.
There
we are, bar for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have both bars.
Yeah. Run between the two.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll make sure the drinks are served. Personally.
Yeah, yeah. You got the
over me though.
Yeah. You got the afternoon bar and the evening bar.
Yeah.
And the spinning wheel was not very far from there, so you know you can have the morning bar, you can have the afternoon bar. Mm.
And I could find a little Airbnb and then have another morning bar.
Well, funny enough, in the spinny wheel, we've got a listed grade two cottage there.
So it gets better and better.
It does, yeah.
There we go. So Champagne Bromley, the original one, opened in 1989.
Right.
And then in 2001, we thought, we need to move this business on. And funny enough, I never, ever liked working in a restaurant. Supported the family, did a psychology degree, worked with young people, loved what I did.
Right.
And I was the entertainer in the business because I had a gift of the gab, was very confident. And so when I came into the restaurant to work, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, interacting with people. Not the actual business side of things.
But you're a people person. And
100%.
Yeah.
And then just thought, you know what, we need to move this business on. And then we went and purchased Champagne Bromley, which is over two floors.
Right.
It's got its private dining area downstairs in the min room. We've got the cinema room upstairs, two bars. It's got its lounge area.
How many covers in the private dining room?
60.
Fabulous. Wow.
With its own lounge and bar.
Where's this?
In Bromley.
In Bromley, yeah.
That's the hotel, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because what happened was we bought the building, and there's a garden area which was going to do the extension. And Jeff Brown, who's a very good friend of mine now, and who was doing the contractual work, we had a massive argument on site one day. And he went, you go that way, I'll go that way. He's going to go to the pub, you go to the off license, I get a can of Coke, and we regroup after 15 minutes. And I actually sat in my car and thought, you know what? We can dig the garden out. Why can't we? And we dug the garden out eventually. And it was known the biggest hole in Bromley in 2001. And that's where the private function suite is downstairs. So that's where the two floors are. So 2001, we opened Champagne Bromley. And I carried on working with young people in Connections. And in 2004, I thought, you know what? This is too much. I'm practically running a business. And working and trying to be a family man as well.
Yeah, you have children. How many children have you got?
I've got three lovely children.
Okay. We're going to talk about them later, but so I'm fascinated in this journey. You're running the restaurant in Bromley. Was your uncle still involved with it at that time?
He moved. He was like a mentor to me.
Right. Okay.
And being the generation that he came from.
Yeah.
And the generation there was a massive clash.
Mm.
But there was many things that he actually taught me.
Mm.
So by a massive clash, he was sometimes not agreeing with the way that you wanted to move the business forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which often happens with family anyway, doesn't it? Politics.
100%. But I tell you something, he did teach me how to serve a glass of wine.
Without throwing it at the customers.
Absolutely.
I'm just wondering what to wear when I go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A plastic Mac.
Yeah, poncho.
And, you know, it was 2004. I decided, you know what, I've got to be one career. Working in Connections and working with young people and running a business wasn't going to work, especially the hours I was doing. I was never around with my family. Kids, you know, at the time, Sarah and Zara, they were 4 and 5, and three and fourths, or rather, and massive change. I said, you know what, I'm going to go into this full time. I had a 10-year business plan in my head, and said, this is what I'm going to do, because we're going to open up another branch and another branch, and by, you know, 2011, we will have 2012 at least four restaurants. That's what all
I wanted. You had a vision.
Yeah, I had a vision, and what we was going to do with Champagne. It wasn't going to be, without being, I don't want to sound disrespectful to anybody or any business out there. We're not your stereotypical Indian restaurant.
I knew that. I could tell that.
Yeah, we wasn't going to be your, and it had to be inspirational. It's got to be motivational. It's got to be entertaining. People got to walk in and say, wow.
Right.
Wow.
Sooner the minute you walk in as well.
Okay. In a minute, I want to talk to you about your kind of menus and the type of food and the kind of ambience that you're creating there.
Sure.
But I'm also fascinated by your vision journey and your expansion from Bromley to new branches.
Well, this is where I think, when you talk about my uncle, and it was always great to have him beside you.
Right.
Because the mentoring in terms of guidance, and you might call it old school, but it works.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they know, they've had the experience in a lot of things.
So he was brilliant side by side, but then being creative and trying to move on. And we looked around everywhere for the next branch.
Mm.
And I wanted to go Tunbridge, I wanted to go Sevenoaks, I wanted to go Beckenham. I went, you know what? And we was, you know, it's got to be that property.
This time next year, Rodney, the world. Yeah. Yeah.
And funny enough, never ever thought about it. Yeah. And I was on holiday, came back, and somebody actually turned around and said to me, there's a property going in Welling. And I went, Welling? And you know what? And went there, and I thought, oh my God. But when I went there, I straight away saw it, how this restaurant can be.
Right.
And if you go into the Green now, what a fantastic, fabulous place it has become.
And was it a restaurant then?
It was. It was called The Lloyds. But, you know, you walked around and it was shutters and graffiti everywhere and it was run down. And I remember when we was doing the project, and our Champagne Welling has all glass front. And the postman, I think, when we were installing the shop front, he came in and he said, you've got glass all over the place. And I said, yeah. And he said to me, I'll give you 6 weeks. They're going to be smashed.
Oh.
And I said...
So soul destroying.
No, it was. But the thing is, but if you go back now, or if you go into Falconwood Parade now on the Green, everybody's got glass.
Mm.
It uplifted the area.
I was just going to say, you know, it takes someone with vision and guts to do something like that. But once you do it, the rest of the area will come along with you. You know, there was a time in New York City. I lived in and worked in New York many years ago. But there was a time when they had zero tolerance.
Yeah.
And they were saying, if you let one smash window go, the area will degenerate.
Was that Rudy Giuliani?
It was Giuliani when he was mayor of New York.
Yeah.
When he was district attorney for New York.
Yeah.
And what they insisted was, if a window got smashed or graffiti was put on a building, it was cleaned up within an hour. Yeah. And eventually it turned it round. Although it cost money, but it turned it round. And again, your vision for this restaurant and Cajoni's to actually go, well, this is a bit of a dump covered in graffiti at the moment, but we're going to make it something, really is, you know.
Well, if you go onto our website, which is www.champagnegroup.co.uk, and when you go to the...
You see what he did there, Paul?
I did. Yeah.
You had to take
the... Yeah, absolutely. Go for it, yeah.
But if you go into our website and go up to a section about Champagne Welling, there's a quote there. It says, it's a hidden gem of Bexley.
Mm.
Blink, and you'll miss it.
Right.
And do you know what? It is. We're so proud of that, because that actually, moving from Bromley to Welling, it was a different clientele. It was a lot of hard work. But do you know what? Business from day one was just booming.
So the locals wanted it, they appreciated it.
Bromley was brilliant anyway,
but
we had the clientele there.
Mm.
We got Farnborough Park, we got Keston Park, you know, and the clientele is a different clientele.
Mm.
And when Welling, they wanted it.
Mm.
They were, you know, and it was brilliant for us.
Okay.
And it taught us so many things in business
and
saw the other side of it. Because, you know, it was amazing because it didn't matter if it was Friday, it didn't matter if it was Saturday or it was Monday. Just jam packed every
really?
Day.
Wow.
Can I ask? Tell me for my own business. If you, with the Welling Restaurant, did you buy it or lease it?
No, all our premise. I got one philosophy, and this is where, like, I think the old school clash with my, you know, the clash with my uncle, or and a few other family members, or the partners, or the board of directors. Is all my vision always was. You have to buy
exactly.
You got the, investment side of the business,
yeah,
and you got the business itself,
yeah. Absolutely.
And then you build your brand on that,
and you have an asset. You have an underlying asset to the business. Yeah, totally absolutely.
Agree. I mean, think of the sad period that we went through with COVID. How many restaurants went bust?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they couldn't pay the rent.
Yeah,
or didn't want to pay the rent.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely. You know,
and are still going bust.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped.
Absolutely. Funny enough, I was in central London with my son yesterday. And I went out for a walk because we had to wait an hour in between a couple of tests. And there was a sushi place. And it looked, from a distance, with a sign and everything, it looked fantastic. As he got closer, it's all, you know, there was Bailiff orders.
So sad.
It is, and it's...
Even Canterbury, you know, Cathedral City, you go to Canterbury now and so many shops boarded up, homeless in the doorways. I go mad. I tweet the council and say, look, this guy is sleeping here at 11:30 in the morning. He hasn't moved. But so many shops have gone.
Yeah.
And I think Canterbury now, from what I'm seeing, it's for tourists. It's there's nothing for a local there. But from what you're saying, your restaurants sound like you get a lot of locals and a lot of people that live around there.
Bromley Welling, 100%. It's all locals. It's residential. It's highly populated residential areas. Champagne at the Spinning Wheel Western is different, and it was a vision where, like, it took guts. Where it was going to be a destination restaurant. It's a 300-seater restaurant. It's got three bars. It's got.
This is Westrum.
This is the flagship in Westrum.
Right.
Yeah.
So this was your third restaurant that you've.
This is my third restaurant that I was going, but in the group it would have been the fourth.
Okay.
So you know, it was, everybody thought, what, you know, you're mad. But again.
So tell me the story. You kind of gradually moving away from London, and we're now in Westrum.
I was always going to stay in Kent.
Yeah.
We did come and look at Canterbury, by the way.
Yeah.
We did look at Canterbury.
Yeah. Whitstable.
We looked at Tenderton. We looked at Ashford.
He's following me around. I live in Tenterton, and I have a business in Canterbury. Yeah.
Well, I tell you the premises that we looked at, Paul. In Tenderton, down the road.
Yeah.
Off the A20 was the old Little Chef.
Oh, yeah.
We were toying with that for 3 months.
Right, okay.
And then eventually I backed off.
Right, okay.
Eventually I backed off. I thought, you know what?
They couldn't keep up with your appetite, Paul. That's the trouble.
In the actual town of Tenterton,
yeah.
A restaurant like yours would be a massive, massive hit. It would be a massive hit. I don't want to influence you in any way.
Have the Chapel Down wine as well.
Yeah, and just around the corner from Chapel Down.
What I'm going to say is just watch this space. That's what.
Okay, cool.
Because Westrum is near my friend Henry, Westrum Brewery.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We used to do a lot of work with Westrum Brewery.
Henry's been on my show a lot, and I've.
Anyway, I want the way that Sufyan's unfolding the story for us is really brilliant, and I just kind of want to stay on that journey. So you had these restaurants, and you've opened Welling. And you decided you want to stay in the Kent area. Did you specifically target Westrum, or is it again something that came up that attracted you?
It was just luck. I think I came back from holiday. I walked into Bromley branch one night to collect some papers, and there was a client of us. When I say client, I guess we've been serving for a long time, and he said, "Oh, you went to me all of a sudden, Sufyan. I haven't seen you, but congratulations." I said, "Congratulations for what? I heard that you." You know, I heard you on your new venture. I said, "Alan, I just come off holiday," and he said, "I heard that there's a big rumor going around that the Champagne Group have bought the Spinning Wheel." I didn't know where it was. I didn't even know. And he said, "Yeah, there's a rumor going around, and if it's you, good on you." I said, "Alan, I don't know nothing about it." And he said to me, "You know what? You should go and see it. Call me if you do go and see it, because if it's not you." Because I was going to look at it, and if it's not you, then I would definitely look at it.
Right.
And then me being me, forgetting going home to my wife or my family and the kids, I just drove and I went. I couldn't find it. It was dark. It was by the time I left Bromley, I think it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I found it.
Right.
And I thought, wow. Right. Well, you know, it was in a plot where it's 2 acres of land. We got about 100 parking spaces.
Do you grow your own veg?
No, in the acres?
No,
because the predominantly is all car park. Mm. And then we've got the cottage and we've got the restaurant.
Okay. Mm.
But as soon as I saw it, 1 o'clock in the morning, I saw, I know what to do. That's it. Contact the bank manager tomorrow.
Wow. What are you? Are you a Leo?
No, I'm Aquarius.
Are you Aquarius?
I'm Aquarius.
Okay.
One day after Valentine's Day. And that was it. The rest was history. Went back, I think, the next day. Funny enough, the property was actually sold.
Right.
And through this particular individual, I got the contact, got the details, got in touch with the agent, and I said, we can buy it tomorrow if you want. This is my credentials. I had the backing of the bank. I had the backing of... Right. And I didn't really. That's the truth. Because what you have to understand, this is 2009 now, and recession just started.
Right.
And you know what? When I spoke to Paul Whitehead, who was my bank manager, at NatWest,
right.
He said, Sufyan, you're mad. You're crazy. I can tell you now, NatWest won't be lending because the hospitality sector is a sector we've just completely cut out.
Right.
And funny enough, he couldn't do it. Right. And through X, Y, and Z, and then we acquired the loans and everything else. And the project, I mean, it was good because what it did, it gave me time to actually map out how we were going to market it, the team we was going to build. The actual interior, because you walk in and you know, please do look out on our website, www.champagnegroup.co.uk. it's a five star hotel,
right?
And because one of the fortunate things I've been blessed with, I have traveled around the world,
right?
And there's abstracts that I took in the design. It's a timeless design. And like silk screens, I saw them in Singapore, so we incorporated it, right. Into the restaurant. The thread work with the natural wood, I saw it in Dubai, and we incorporated it. And you know what? It was a hit,
right.
From day one. But the whole point of staying in Kent was cross marketing.
Right.
It worked with the staffing.
Yeah.
And it was building a brand,
right.
And you keep it consistent, and you keep it, you know. Adaptable. When I'm saying that, you've got to be able to change your food. You've got to be able to, you know, adapt to the marketing. You've got to, you know, you've got to associate. You've got to work in the community. And we had a big catchment area because we had the three operating branches.
Okay.
And it worked. And what we saw all of a sudden is slowly the A-listers were coming in, and then we started. And I had a vision where, like, we need to go out and get people from further afield. And, you know, people were travelling from Guildford. People were travelling from further afield in Essex and in Surrey. And, you know, it got really well known. And funny enough, you talk about the Welling branch.
Right.
After we won, after we opened in 2011, the Western branch, Champagne Welling won the British Curry Awards.
Uh-huh, right.
And that got publicised all over a whole of England. And it was phenomenal for the brand.
Cool. So in the Western restaurant, have you retained the name Spinning Wheel?
It's called Champagne at the Spinning Wheel.
Is it? Okay. All right.
Because the Spinning Wheel's got so much history.
Yeah.
And we was never going to lose it. And we've got good PR people working with us,
okay.
The marketing people. And you know what? Because a lot of people at that time, maybe not known Champagne, because that's when we were going big or bigger.
Yeah.
And the Spinning Wheel was well known.
Right.
For Champagne to be at the Spinning Wheel, it was a different way of just marketing the whole brand.
Okay.
And yeah, this is what we've been doing. And I have to, more than anything else, the teams that we got between the three restaurants, the operating three restaurants, even though got the Champagne One, which is now turned into a Chinese, we just lease it out, collect the rent, very simple model. The teams in each branch is fantastic.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to do what we do. We wouldn't create the brand that we have created without the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
but that's a testament to you and your people skills as well, you know, because you're a people person. And,
Keeping staff, that's what
makes it work. Right. We're kind of fast running out of time, but I want to cover everything because I'm fascinated with this. We haven't actually got down to the nitty gritty here yet, which is what is it that we can actually buy in your restaurant? You know, so tell us a little bit about the menus. Are the menus the same in every restaurant or are they different in each restaurant? And how do you differ from a traditional Anglo-Indian type offering?
No problem at all. I'll answer that question. But I'll answer the first question that, Jules, you asked earlier on the route around balls.
Yes, yes.
It's koftas.
Oh, koftas.
It's koftas.
Okay. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Koftas.
Yeah.
Koftas. And then...
Do you put puff pastry around them, or is it the meat?
It's the meat, but you can put puff pastries, and you can make them in triangles, which is called samosas.
Yeah.
So...
Delicious.
Answer that question.
I've got another question. Wayne Cunnington, who's listening in, says, I bet the restaurant drinks are refreshing. Preferably, I like to drink them rather than...
yeah, rather than shower in them. Yeah,
but that's an experience that I tell everybody, and you know what? It was a starting point from my career in the restaurant world. How we differ.
So, what else do you serve?
It's Indian food. The spices.
So, is it Bangladeshi?
No, it's across the. There are abstracts, and the cooking style are certain elements of Bangladeshi, and we don't focus on a Pacific region. It's across the whole of India. We use authentic spices. The supplier we get it directly from India.
Right.
We try to use local produces as much as possible.
Yeah.
The style of cooking, authentic Indian cooking with a modern twist or presentation.
Right.
Or you asked, are the between the three restaurants, are the menus the same? You will have the traditional dishes with the chicken tikka masalas, the chicken madras, the kurais, people who are familiar with Indian food across all three menus. But the flagship has a level up.
Right.
It's a lot of plated food there as well. And again, it's got the modern twist where you're using the spices. And the myth of Indian food is spicy or not healthy, that's changed.
Mm.
It's changed so much.
Yeah.
And that's something that you might be interested in, Joe.
Because, yeah.
It has changed so much. So it's not as greasy, not as much oil is used. And I've got to praise the chefs. Mm. I'm going to mention them. Sadiq Mia, the executive chef at Champagne at the Spinning Wheel, who looks after the group, as well as Spinning Wheel specifically. Sharjan Mia in Bromley and Gulab Mia in Welling. And they're brilliant.
Because right.
They're very creative and they love what they do.
Mm.
Absolutely. Okay. So if I said to you, right, I'm coming for dinner. Mm-hmm. What should I order? What's the signature dish? What's the piece de resistance? What's your favourite dish?
I can look at the menu. Been sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
For my favourite dish is Kerala King Prawns.
Is
Kerala King Prawns.
Right, okay.
It's king prawns cooked in a coconutty, creamy sauce. It's got a little kick to it. And it's actually just divine.
Yeah, love Kerala, the fish out there and stuff. Beautiful. Yeah. It's a place I want to visit, actually, Kerala.
Cool.
Put it on my list.
Okay. So, we've got to where we've got to. What's the next step?
We relaunched our Champagne app only last week.
Right.
And there's a lot of marketing going on to that. We've got a fantastic marketing team. We are looking at a new venture, hopefully next year.
Right.
I think we would have done it if COVID didn't hit.
Right.
And we're going to... But then again, COVID changed the world and it made us think different ways.
Absolutely,
And one of the aspects that we... kept it going through COVID is through our takeaways,
right?
The home dining experience, we call, and the home dining experience is what we're looking at for our next venture.
Okay,
and
so delivering.
We don't personally deliver, but we deliver through
That does.
Absolutely, we know quite a few men that we know that do deliver. We deliver through our partners, which is Deliveroo and Uber Eats. But Champagne predominantly, with the Champagne app, if somebody was ordering through the Champagne app, you'd get more incentivized. There will be more discounts. There is more, more to it.
So direct.
More direct. Mm. And it's not just about the delivery.
Yeah.
I think Joe's on there now already. Look.
Yeah. She's ordering dinner for tonight. Yeah.
And so we only went to the Deliveroo and the all the delivery platforms because of COVID.
Right.
Because we had to go out, get out there. We wasn't going to be able to all of a sudden change our business model and get delivery drivers and during the heart of COVID.
Mm.
And then we partnered up with Deliveroo and then we realized,
right,
you know what, there's a big market for it.
Yeah.
Even though people were coming and taking their takeaways, the growth of the business or the growth of the home dining side for champagne grew by X amount of percent.
Yeah.
And we looked at it and we thought, you know what, it's something we need to look at and we can develop it more and have the arm of the business where, you know, have an outlet where it just focuses on the home dining experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do a lot of events. We do a lot of...
What do they call it? A dark kitchen.
A dark kitchen. But it won't be a dark kitchen because, you know, because we want to promote the brand.
Right, okay.
We want to promote the brand. So even though we do deliveries... know, Paul, I'd like you still come in and pick up the takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's a model that we're looking at next year, and we're going to focus how we're going to do it, but it will stay in Kent.
Okay.
You never know, it might be Canterbury.
Yeah. He's tempting us now, isn't he? Yeah, he's tempting us. I just want to finish off, if I can, Sufyan, because we're kind of fast running out of time, but this is a fascinating story. And in a completely different field, you were showing Jules earlier a photograph, and I missed the first bit. Is it your son?
It's my son, yes.
Yeah. Your son is a professional footballer.
Yes, he is.
He plays in La Liga in Spain.
Yes, he does. He plays for Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah.
And I know he's listening. Hi, Zidane.
Oh, hello.
And I know Sarah.
Why aren't you in training?
Because he's got a bad knee.
Oh, he's got a bad knee. Yeah. Okay.
Achilles.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Achilles. That's not nice,
ouch.
Achilles.
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he ruptured his Achilles at the end of the last season. So he's back. Full training. I think he's come back too early. So a little bit of pain.
Yeah.
So he's back to England to look at to visit his surgeon, and he's got his in and out of the clinic for the next couple of days before he goes back on Friday.
So have you got him working in a restaurant throwing beer on people?
It was actually funny enough talking about it last night.
All right.
No, I don't think so. He'll be working. I think he's just resting up.
Right.
But yeah, Zidane is based in Madrid, playing for Real Vallecano. He hasn't made the first team appearance yet.
Right.
But he's only young, and he only got signed a year ago.
Okay.
So that's that. But the thing is, Zidane takes the limelight. I have to turn around and give a big shout to my two daughters who are based in, and my wife who are based in America, Sarah and Zara and Sheepa.
Okay.
Because the journey has been turbulent. It's not easy. People look at the businessman in terms of what I do with champagne and what we have done with champagne.
Sure.
Yeah, I've got a team of people who are absolutely fantastic. But the big supporters are really, for me, has been my children and my wife and my family, my brother and sister, mother and father.
Yeah.
And it's not easy because I travel to go and see them.
Yeah.
And they'll constantly say, Dad, get off the phone, get off the laptop. You know, you shouldn't be texting in the car. But that's what you have to do.
Absolutely. It's funny you should say that. There was a poll from somebody I know. There was a poll earlier that said, if you move to a four-day working week, could you fit your week in? I mean, I can't even fit my seven-day week in at the moment. You know, four days. Get out of it.
Yeah.
It's funny because yesterday Zidane was going to see his surgeon, and he was waiting in the waiting room, and I thought, I just got to get out. I've got to take a couple of calls. And as I'm taking the call, I started to actually start texting. And I'm texting, I'm walking out, and I walked into a lamppost.
Uh-oh.
Ouch. So phone dropped. So it serves me right. It's just working around the clock. So, yes.
Sufyan, I don't think you've mentioned it, but maybe you have. Give us a shout out for your website.
www.champagnegroup.co.uk, and you can find us on all social media platforms, and it's the same handle, champagnegroup.com.
Fantastic.
.co.uk. So, but give us a shout, like our page, and visit our website.
And visit the restaurants in Bromley and Welling and Westrum.
All at once.
Yeah.
Well, you could do a crawl.
We could do a
champagne crawl, couldn't we? We could have breakfast in Bromley.
Yeah.
And pop over to Welling for lunch.
Yeah.
And then finish off in the evening at Westrum.
And then over to Western Brewery, see Henry as well. Top it off.
Well, there you go.
Why not?
And why don't you come and stay at the champagne at Spinningwell Cottage?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
We're refurbing at the moment.
That's a week.
Safi Amir, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monk Show and sharing your story with us. It's a fantastic story.
Thank you.
We wish you continued and much success for the future.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for the entertainment and the fun that I had on being on the show.
It's a very serious show, you know.
Oh, yeah. And it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much. Right, we've only got a few minutes left of the show, and we've got loads of stuff to still cover.
Well, I bumped into Jo when I was making my tea, and her retreat. It's a 4-day residential retreat for female leaders looking for clarity in their career and their life. Mm-hmm. It's running from May the 11th to the 14th, and it's at Green Farm Spa Retreat in the beautiful Kent countryside. It's too long to read, so I'm going to give you the websites. And that you can have a look, but it's got everything going on. It's a 3-night, 4-day retreat filled with opportunities to transform mind, body, and spirit. So that's with Jo.
Green Farm's beautiful. I used to work there.
Oh, well, did you?
I used to run Woodland like before.
What's
COVID.
It near?
It's in Ashford.
Okay.
Yeah.
So her email is Jo, J O, got all the Jo's going on, at Scintillo, scintillo.co.uk, or judith@underhillassociates.co.uk. There are payment plans available for both options. You can look at the costs on there, but what's included? You've got yoga, you've got wild swimming, gong bath, mindful sessions, fire pit ceremonies. Sounds like my garden. This I've got gongs.
The
and
food's
all
amazing. They make it all. It's all like local
scratch.
Produce and
Untamed Journal, Soulfully You card deck, Dark Sky Trust Walk, Rewilding Daytime Walk, Hot Tub and Sauna. All meals provided. All en suite rooms. Transfers to and from Ashford International. So we've got time to read that again in full next week because it's as I said, it's long. But please go on to. Just looking to see if there's a website. No, but there is these two emails, judith@underhillassociates.co.uk and jo@scintillo, scintillo.co.uk. Find yourself, exhale, relax and inwardly smile at the thought of this destination untamed retreat. Talk it through with them, Jo and Judith. It's May the 11th to the 14th, Greens Farm Spa Retreat.
Fantastic. Right, I'm going to try and catch up with all the tweets now.
Off you go.
About Sofian's talk just now. Tracy Ferguson says, well, fantastic achievement, Sofian. Well done. Sarah Marsh Collins, Sofian has achieved amazing things with the spinning wheel. It's a stunning venue. I must try the Welling one as it's the closest to me geographically. Oh, and Zeenat and Sufyan have the same birthday, apparently. Do you know Zeenat and Nurani?
Aquarius.
They're the same birthday.
I'm sure she nips in and has a little cocktail or two.
Yeah.
She was there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Did she stay for a whole 2 weeks or did she leave?
No, she did leave.
Okay. Yeah.
Elmcroft Business, great listening to Sufyan from Champagne Group on the radio. Fabulous restaurant with great food and wonderful staff. There you go.
Thank you.
Zeenat's still trying to angle for her birthday present. I'm an Aquarius. Yeah, we've got the idea, Zeenat. I'll buy you a present.
Funny enough, when Zeenat was there, I got a text of her at 2 o'clock in the morning. She's saying what a fantastic time she had.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Again, Zeenat said, the Champagne Group restaurant is really yummy and the staff and professionalism is wonderful. Not only the interior ambience, which is divine. So there you go. Sarah Marsh Collins, this is in response to Elmcroft Business, who said we recently held an EELP professional networking event there and the feedback was 100% positive. And Sarah says it was. They put on a great feast for us, which was demolished by the 30-plus attendees. The executive chef and the whole team looked after us so well. Very professional service.
Lovely. It's what we like. I'm very hungry now.
I'm starving now. I'm absolutely starving. I'd even let Sufyan chuck beer on me.
Going there now if you want to come down.
And there's loads more. I'm sure you can catch up on them, but we're kind of fast approaching the end of the show. And we've got a few things to catch up on. Have you got anything you need to read?
Visitors to Canberra Sands. I don't like this.
I was telling you about this earlier.
We'll soon be asked to pay a flat fee of £30.
Yeah, 30 quid.
This is ridiculous.
To park.
To use a council-run car park. The new charge is only £5 less than a parking fine if it's paid within 14 days. What are they on? Permit charges at all other Rotha District Council parks will also increase following Monday's Cabinet meeting. The new £30 charge reduced to £15 after 3 p.m. That's bigger than especially in winter.
Yeah.
And it's dark at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
It's for Camber Sands Central Park. It will also cost the same at the Putting Green car park. However, this will only apply for a single season as the site has been recently approved for housing development.
Yeah.
The council will continue to offer tariff parking at Camber Sands Western car park, but at a higher price than is currently charged. The new fees will start at £4 for up to an hour, rising up to £20 for more than 6 hours. It's ridiculous.
The council needs to put up a big sign that says,
don't come here
because we're not interested.
No, yeah. It's awful. It's awful. And there's a lot of local restaurants, independent shops, that need visitors.
Well, Camber Sands car park, the car park they're talking about, has a pub, a fish and chip shop, and an ice cream parlour there in the car park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, their trade's just going to disappear when you find out you've got to pay £30 to park in the blooming car park.
That's a ridiculous price.
Yeah. It's got to be priced to stop people parking there, really, isn't it? Why would you park there?
Yeah. Well, why? Do they want to build houses on that car park?
Well, do you know Camber Sands?
Vaguely, but yeah,
Camber Sands is very popular because
it's a huge wide open beach.
It's a huge wide open beach, and the sea starts somewhere in France.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get wet, you have to get a bus to get
so
to the sea.
So you can run, and children can play.
But they take horses and dogs and that on the beach because it's a big, wide, sandy beach.
Yeah.
And at the top of the beach is lots of sand dunes.
Yeah.
And people picnic and barbecue in the sand. Yeah.
So they won't be able to.
But all of that will stop because of the absolutely horrendous car parking charges. The only thing is, there's a long drive up to the car park.
Mm.
So people will just park in the road until the road's full, won't they? Mm. So they don't have to park in the car park.
Then they'll start doing something.
But what I'm saying is, there are houses all down there, and the homeowners will just complain like mad that they can't get in and out of their drives because everybody's parking. It's
so
just
this
bonkers.
Is Rother District Council.
Rother District Council. Rother. Yeah, don't bother Rother.
Don't bother. Two new food units have opened in Lockmeadow. Where's Lockmeadow?
Maidstone.
In the street food collection at Love Food, offering chicken wings and Indian street food. We Are Chicken, serving crispy fresh fried chicken and Madras street food. And they're now open at Love Food at Lockmeadow. And it's a leisure complex. It's already home to three of Maidstone's top-rated restaurants on TripAdvisor, with Funky Feast at number one, Notorious BRG at two, and the coffee shop Flower Power, that's F-L-O-U-R, Flower Power, which is run by Maidstone's number one bakery, also on TripAdvisor.
Fantastic.
I'm really hungry now.
Continuing our theme of Indian food, there's a Curry & Co. networking event taking place at the Raj in Faversham on the 27th of April. Join us for a fabulous night of networking, good food and drink at the Raj, 6:30 on Thursday the 27th of April. It's only a few minutes walk from Faversham train station. Your ticket will provide you with a selection of dishes, rice, breads, poppadoms, and one free drink. eventbrite.co.uk/Curry Co. networking if you want to partake in that.
We've got Kent businesses to compete for £900,000 business sustainability challenge, and it's a long press release, so I'm going to gabble it a bit, but it's growing Kent and Medway. It's making £900,000 available for innovative ideas that can help transform the horticultural plant-based food and drink supply chain in a new business sustainability challenge. So for more details, go to growingkentandmedway.com and put a slash with funding/grant funding business sustainability. And applications close at midnight on the 31st of May. So go to that website and you'll find all the details. Indeed, it's on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Absolutely. I'd just like to say I'm a Leo.
I knew that.
Just everybody's telling me that they're Aquarians or
Geminis,
so two-faced or water bearers, and I'm just saying I'm a Leo. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are a lion.
A what?
A lion.
Oh, a lion.
Yeah.
A new home for vulnerable children who may have suffered abuse and other kinds of trauma has been approved, finally. Bosses behind the project in St Richard's Road Deal say they're delighted after it was given planning permission in a unanimous decision by district councillors. So well done on opening a home in Deal for vulnerable children.
And there is Get Found. It's a black-owned digital marketing agency that works closely with the community to create equal job opportunities through comprehensive well-designed training programs. It was founded in 2019 by Alex Davis, and he's a seasoned SEO and digital marketing expert. So find them on Get Found. They've recently partnered with DigiShed, creating a digital marketing training program, which is specifically designed to upskill people looking to change career paths. All details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. And finally, just before we sign off, steps to transform a stretch of shoreline by adding more than 100 beach huts and creating a water sports centre have been taken a step forward. The proposal to overhaul the coastline at Greatstone on the Romney Marsh was announced in 2021, with Folkestone and Hive District Council revealing they wanted to make it a tourist destination. Well, hurry up then, because it's 2023 now, so that's 2 years they've been thinking about it. Get on with it.
What were the parking prices charges?
Yeah, exactly.
Been?
Yeah. 100 quid a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
You get free parking in Spinnyhall.
Yeah. I like what he did there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've reached the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Joe Adams, Your Future Fitness, Safia and Mia, Champagne Group, to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin, to everybody that tweeted, emailed, and joined in with the show and listened. Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. Otherwise, have a fantastic week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.